fell asleep. He looked over and said, "Wake that guy up." And the guy next to him said, "You put him to sleep, you wake him up." And the wicked shall be cut off. That's why he's so short. Matthew chapter 18, please, and verse 35. You want me to keep going, huh? Matthew, he deserves every bit of it, doesn't he? Huh? Matthew chapter 18 and verse 35. Boy, I love your pastor. I appreciate him, and God bless him. What a great, and boy, that jacket. Man, that is sharp. I'm telling you. That is really sharp. And he's lost weight. I've noticed that. I saw him at the airport, and I appreciate that. I've worked hard at it. Man, I've worked so hard at it. Last year, of course, I had pneumonia 4 years ago, and it created a lot of problems for me, and I constantly coughing up junk all the time, and finally got me a different pulmonary doctor, and she put me in the hospital right away, and there's a cleansing they can do with the lungs. I didn't know that, but there's some type of a washing that they can do with the lungs, so she did that for me and checked out my spots and everything, and then, man, I got out of the hospital. I felt great. I could breathe. Everything was fine, and so I started back on my treadmill and started walking. So I walk 8 miles a day, 4 miles in the morning, 4 miles in the afternoon, sometimes 12, sometimes 16. And I work real hard at it. But, Pastor, I'm proud of you. God bless you. Take care of your health. We need you. America needs you. Hey, I got Matthew 18, verse 35. Turn there. I got to read this to you. Where'd it go? Oh, here it is. My wife gave this to me. Said, this morning on the interstate, I looked over to my left, and there was a woman in a brand new Cadillac doing 75 miles an hour with her face up next to the rearview mirror putting on her eyeliner. I looked away for a couple of seconds, and when I looked back, she was halfway over into my lane, still working on that makeup. As a man, I don't scare easily, but she scared me so much, I dropped my electric shaver, which knocked the donut out of my other hand, and all the confusion of trying to straighten out the car using my knees against the steering wheel, it knocked my cell phone away from my ear, which fell into the coffee between my knees, which ruined the phone, soaked my trousers, and disconnected a very important phone call. Then at the bottom it says, stupid women drivers. I love it. Matthew chapter 18, please, and verse 35. Matthew 18, verse 35. Let's stand and stretch just for a moment if you have that, please. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 35. The scripture says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. Now, this is a very important part of the scripture here. If ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. It does not say if you from your heads. It says if ye from your hearts. Have you ever had friction and kind of a rub and then all of a sudden it came to a head and then you looked at somebody and you said, well, I forgive you. And then weeks later you see them and it pops up in the back of your head and you go, wait a minute. I don't understand that. I said I forgive you, but why am I still thinking about it? Or she comes in and sits down in the same pew you're in, and you start mumbling, you know, and I ain't believing that. The nerve of that woman sitting here in that, after what she did, sitting here like that. And you say to your husband, look, don't look. how dare she, after what she did, come in here and sit down next to me. And I don't know if you've ever wondered about it or have you ever worried about it. Because I think that there's something here. You can't have as many moving parts in a great church like this, and this is a great church, amen, unless the oil of the Holy Spirit of God's working. You could have made, your car wouldn't have gotten out of that driveway if there hadn't been oil in it for all those moving parts for it to have to be able to function. So I say, well, thank you very much. Thank you. God bless you. White lightning. You can tell Russell Anderson's been here. Is there? Oh, hey, look at there. That's for your coffee. You take a coffee break and sit down and sip a little bit. Okay. So I want to talk to you this morning. By the way, Dr. Carl Hatch went home to be with the Lord this morning at 4:20. And so pray for Mrs. Hatch, if you would. The funeral looks like it'll be on Friday. And so you'll pray. We've lost Dr. Faulkner this week to heaven. It's a loss to us, but a gain to heaven. And I can just imagine all those giants in heaven having a great time this morning. But I want to talk to you about one word, the word forgiveness. So I want you to get your pencil out. This is Sunday school, right? Yeah. We're going to school. Get your pencil out. I'm going to give you some things this morning I believe will help you. And so let's pray. And we're coming back to Matthew 18 in just a moment, too. Father, help us now. Holy Ghost of God, I beg, I plead for your help. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. You're the author. And I'm so glad you said about this King James Bible that's lively oracles. You even mentioned in there how that it preaches. I'm amazed. You mentioned and made reference to the Bible as a person. God, I pray now you'll take the very words of God and help us today, please. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to write down the word forgiveness, and then I'm going to give you some other things to write down. I want you to write down on one side of your paper, I want you to write down forgiven, and the other side, forgive. And it is an easy thing to be forgiven. It is a hard thing to forgive. The reason it's hard to forgive is because it affects you personally or it affects those around you. And because we're so self-centered and because our flesh dominates our life so much, if someone slaps you, you don't hurt. But someone slaps you, you hurt. Someone talks about somebody else, it doesn't affect you as much. But boy, let them talk about you and it affects you. The bad thing about this is that everybody else is the bad person and we're the good guy, you know. Why, we've never gossiped. Why, we've never done that. And we've never said anything behind anybody's back. Why, we've never done that. It's always the other people that do that. And it's that view of a lack of understanding of us being dust and our own humanity. You cannot get saved until you know you're lost. Amen. You cannot get forgiveness or have forgiveness and give forgiveness unless you realize your own humanity. Because for you to brush it off and just say, well, you know, everybody else is bad, but I'm good. That's not true. For all have
sin.
Help me now. For all have
sin.
Does that include you?
Yes.
Well, then that means that you've gossiped sometimes. That means you've been critical sometimes. That means you've stabbed somebody in the back sometimes. A careless statement maybe being made. But everybody is guilty of it. Now, with that understanding, let's go to the word forgiven. Is that hard or easy?
Easy.
Come on, talk to me. Or to the junior church you go and no wheel. You go to junior church and no wheel.
Cracker Barrel.
All right.
All right. To forgive, hard or easy?
Hard.
Hard or easy?
Hard.
Okay, class. We're going to go over this again. Forgiven, hard or easy?
Easy.
Forgive, hard or easy?
Hard.
Hard, because it affects you, because it affects yours. Let somebody say something about your wife and see how you feel. Let somebody say something about your children and see how you feel. Let somebody say something about your preacher and see how you feel. The truth of the matter is you need to understand most of that is just based on you've in my turf, you're in my area now, you're hurting me, and because of that, then I am going to find myself being, it's going to be hard, very, very hard for me to say to you, I forgive you. Yet the scripture says that we need to forgive from our hearts, all right? Let's break down the word forgiveness. Can I do that? It's found in two parts, and the first part of the word forgiveness comes from the word from, the second part from the word to send. So it comes from the word from and the word to sin. So when we understand the use, the definition of defining the word forgiveness, it means basically to send from. That's what forgiveness means. All right, help me now. Forgiven, the word forgiven, hard or easy?
Easy.
Forgive, hard or easy?
Hard,
because it affects me and affects mine. Okay, we're going to talk about the word forgiveness. It comes from two parts, the word from, and what's the second part? To send, or it comes from the word from, and the second part?
To send.
Put it together, and it means to what? Send away. Say that with me. What? To send away. Say that with me. To what? Send away. All right? So that is, if you look at, now there's some illustrations that God gives us in the Bible to explain about this word forgiveness. Let me give those to you. Write this down. Two doves. In the Old Testament, God uses two doves as an illustration of what forgiveness is. He takes an innocent dove, and that innocent dove sheds that blood, and that blood is shed and then put on the dove of the second dove, which is let go, and it's live and it's gone. Now, because of that, you need to understand that this is the crux of the matter. The innocent must pay before it can be sent away. That is in the scope of the illustration, the Bible illustration, what God is trying to teach us about forgiveness. So there's an innocent bird that sheds its blood. That blood is placed on the second live bird that is let go. So in essence, God is saying the innocent must pay before it can be sent away. Now that's very important, understanding how you can forgive from your hearts. Easy to say, for example, we don't understand this, but the word love, for example, is a verb. To say, honey, I love you, and not bring the bacon home is not love. Bacon. Oh, to have a slice of bacon again. grilled chicken and fish. Nah, nah, nah. walk again, fatty. Now, understanding the word love, to say to your wife, I love you, is pretty cheap if you don't put clothes on her back or feed the kids or put a roof over the head. Love is a verb. For God so loved the
world
that he gave. A definition of the word love, it's a verb, it's action, it's commitment. And the same thing is true. The reason we say to someone, I forgive you, we don't understand that there has to be action behind it before it can be transmitted from here to here. Okay? Romans chapter 12. How do we overcome evil? Somebody help me. Overcome evil with?
Good.
Help me now. Overcome evil with?
Good.
Help me now. Overcome evil with?
Good.
Well, I wonder if it's the good that the person that's gossiping about you does. Huh. I wonder if it's the good of the person who's hated you. Well, no, because they hate you. If they hate you, they're not going to do good to you, or they do the good, not the evil. No, it's saying on this end, I overcome the evil, evil not being in the sense of wickedness, but pain. When the Bible makes reference to God doing evil, it doesn't mean that God did wickedness. It just means God inflicted pain like you did on your child when your child did wrong. You wanted to make sure that posterior felt the pain of the wrong that was done, and God inflicts that pain. So when somebody pain comes your way from somebody, the Bible says that we have to overcome that pain with good. Who's going to do the good? We will have to do the good in order to overwhelm the pain. That's why we say to someone, I forgive you, but really nothing ever happens, and we think about it. They sleep at night, and we toss and turn, wondering about why are they so hateful to me, and why did she say that, and why did he do that? The Bible, the way to move it from your head down to your heart is to understand the context of activity, of doing things, of doing your part. Bless them that... Ah, so apparently when somebody despitefully uses you, you see, God's economy is different than the world's economy. You have to understand, here's a new word for you. It's called Christian. That's a new word. You cannot act like you're different. We had a guy in our church, got saved, led him to Christ. He worked at the dealership and got him to Christ, came to church, got baptized, and he said, can I keep selling cars? And that is a good question. And I said to him, Jim, now listen carefully now. You're saved now, and you can't act like you used to act. And you can't pull the deals. I hope there's not a car dealer salesman here. Is there? Your son? And moving along here quickly. Well, there goes the love offering for you. But I said to Jim, I said, now, Jim, you can't act like you acted before. They can do it and get away with it because they're not saved. But you're ruined now.
Amen.
You're saved now. You act like that, and your father, your heavenly father, is going to bend you over his knee and whop your bottom. You can't get away with it. God's economy is different. Said, boy, I've lost my job. I don't think I can tithe. Huh? What? You're living on something. What's quiet now, isn't it? Recession is when your neighbor loses his job. A depression is when you lose your job. A recovery is when Obama loses his job. But where is my bailout check? Now, understanding God's economy, you cannot act like the world acts. That's why the Bible talks about being sued. You get sued, they take your overcoat, give me a suit coat. That's what the Bible says. You're standing like this, you get a sneak attack, you turn around and say, okay, get yourself a good shot. God's economy. Love those that hate you. It's totally different. They're demanding a mile of you, go 2 miles with them. God's economy is totally different. Now, the reason you're in such turmoil in your Christian life is because you don't realize you're a citizen of heaven and not a citizen of earth. Being a citizen of heaven means that you are a higher standard in the Word of God. You've got to deal as God would want you to deal, to flow through you so that you can have the peace. All right? The Bible says, peace passeth all understanding. Now that means then that the world's understanding or the grasp of things, that when you live for God, that peace that you'll have, even though you don't understand it, that peace that you have is going to pass that like it's sitting still. And so you need to understand that overwhelming peace is going to come from God's economy. All right? Let me give you a second example. Okay, forgiven, hard or easy?
Easy.
Had to think, didn't you? To forgive, hard or easy? Okay, why? Because it affects me, okay, affects us. All right, I gave you the word forgiveness comes from two parts, comes from the word from and the word to send. So put it together, it means to send away. All right, help me now, to send away or to send from, that would work just as well. Now the word forgiveness, I gave you an example out of the Old Testament, two doves, right? All right, the first dove was what?
Slain.
That blood was put on the second dove and it was what? Set free. All right. The first dove, was the first dove innocent? Yes, it was. So the innocent must pay before it can be sent away. We overcome evil with what?
Good.
Overcome evil with what?
Good.
Who's doing the good? The innocent one. All right. Let me give you a second example out of the Old Testament. Two goats. An example that God uses in trying to give an illustration of definition. Two goats. You have one goat that's slain, and that blood is put on the second goat, and that goat is sent into the, help me, where was it sent? Wilderness, right? Sent in the wilderness, never to come back again. All right? So now you have the first goat, which was innocent. That innocent had to pay before the sin could be sent away. The blood being example, as I told the people at the motel this morning, I said there's only one cleansing agent in the Bible, and that's the blood of Christ. There is no other cleansing agent. So if you're looking for some way to get your sins cleansed before you die, you can forget it. It's Christ's blood that does it, and he was the innocent one. And you ever wondered, how can God... I mean, I got saved at age 11, but how can all of a sudden, when God looks at me, he doesn't see my sin? How can that be? How can God look at me knowing day to day and we're interacting and I'm confessing and oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, what I said about my mother-in-law, I didn't mean it. Oh, God, please. Now, yesterday I did, but today I didn't. And how could God live with us day in and day out and yet look at us and say, you're forgiven because of the definition? The innocent must pay before it's sent away. He turned his back on his own son. This is amazing about Jesus. Jesus could not even comprehend sin. You have to understand, Jesus did not have the mentality to be able to grasp the why or motive for why we do what we do. When we commit sin, Jesus looks at us and goes, I don't know if he does that or not. But he looks at us and goes, wow, what are you doing? I don't understand it. Yet he was willing to go to the cross and bear his sins upon his own body. Somebody say amen now. Amen. And to be innocent, yet bear that. That's why as far as the east is from the west, your sins are gone. At the deepest part of the sea. So when God looks at you, he is able to say you are forgiven. Why? Because the definition is fulfilled. The innocent must pay before it's sent away, never to return again. So when God looks down and sees what his son has done, that's why he could say, child, you're forgiven. Now, the Bible does not say you must be born again and again and again and again and again and again. It only says you must be born again. So you have one physical birthday that puts you into this world. You have one spiritual birthday that puts you into God's family. So when you sin, there has to be some aspect of this doctrine here to where God looks down and just one time says you're forgiven. One time says you're cleansed. One time says your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it ain't written down in pencil. Some of you Pentecostals, God bless your heart. You get saved, write it down. You think it's in pencil. Every time you mess up, whoop, the eraser. Okay, you know, right there. And then you go to a Benny Hinn men and get it, meeting, get it put back in. And then you blow it again. Oh, eraser. Okay, all right, take your name. If that's the case, that'd be a hole where some of your names are. you think about this, your sins were paid for 2,000 years before there was you were a twinkle in anybody's eye. All right? So the second illustration was two goats. All right, help me now. Word forgiven, hard or easy?
Easy.
The word forgive, hard or easy?
Hard.
Because it affects us. Okay? Now, when we talk about overcoming evil, how do we overcome evil? With what?
Good.
With what?
Good.
Is it their good to us or our good to them?
Our good.
Huh? Bless them. That's what the Bible says. Heap coals of fire on their head. One guy said to me, I'd like to do that. But he didn't understand. Back in the custom of that day was that the tent was set up, a Bedouin tent. I've seen it many times on trips over there. But they have a fireplace right in the middle. That's where you get your heat, and that's where you get your cook your food, and everything is right in the middle. And it was a difficult thing to keep the coals keep them burning, keep it hot in there. And what he was saying was for you to go out of your way and get the heap coals of fire in their heads, what it meant was to give them heat for their home, to do the difficult thing, to give them heat in their home, so that you understand. Because they used to have this carrier, they'd put it on their head, and they would take the coals and put it in the middle. In fact, you ever seen the thing where women have the big thing on their head? That's how women got flat heads, you know. You know, that one didn't go over very well. All right, let me give you three great truths about forgiveness, and forget about what I said. three great truths about forgiveness. Number one, Jesus forgave us. Write this down. Jesus forgave us. Now, the only way that it can be is because the innocent must pay before it's sent away. So please understand now that when God looked down and God looks at you, how many are saved on your way to heaven? How many are born again, God's child, on your way to heaven? All right, good. All right, now this morning, those of you who raised your hand, those who did not raise your hand, you can have this, by the way. But if you raised your hand and said, yeah, I got saved, I'm God's child. How can this be with you pulling the stunt you pulled this week? How can you brazenly just raise your hand and say, I'm saved, I'm God's child, going to heaven, when the Bible says sin cannot enter into heaven? How can you say that, you brazen Baptist, you? Well, the reason you can say that is because of the definition of forgiveness. Because Jesus was the innocent one.
Amen.
And he paid that price. And then that price was sent away. When you accepted that blood, God sent that away, never to return again. So God has Alzheimer's when it comes to remembering your sins.
Amen.
And on purpose, he says, I'm not going to do that. You say, he can't do that. He's God. God can do anything. It's the reason he's God and I'm Bob. He can do anything he wants to do. And don't call me Bob after the service. Jesus forgave us. Number two, I am to forgive others. Now, I'm talking about this peace. I'm talking about fulfillment of Matthew 18:35. How am I going to do this from the heart? All right? Jesus forgave us. I am to forgive others. How in the world am I going to do that? That is so easy. You don't know what she did to me. You don't know what he did to me. You don't know how he treated me. And you're asking me to forgive them? Well, you don't have to. You could be tormented the rest of your life with it if you want to. But Lord, help us. You mentioned this morning about Brother Howell's preaching fresh oil. I was there the first time that he preached at pastor school. And I was there when you and I were together. Well, we weren't together, but you at the same conference when he preached it. And in that sermon, he tells about his daughter dying, the blood that had surgery, tonsil, a little simple little surgery, but all of a sudden she started bleeding. And the nurse started crying that she was dying, that she was bleeding to death. And they grabbed the daughter and rushed her into surgery. And Brother Howell got on his knees and said, Dear God, if there's anything between me and you, show it to me now before I ask for my daughter's life. And Brother Howell says in that sermon, he said, all of a sudden I saw a mental picture of a deacon in Texas that we'd had a knockdown, drag-out fight with. And he told God, he said, God, I'll make that right. He went to the phone, payphone, tried to contact him right then, but couldn't get him. But he promised God, when I see that deacon, by the way, he did make it right with that deacon. And he said, I'll do that. And God did spare his daughter. Now, when he said that, you got to imagine 7,000 people in auditorium. Were you in the balcony when he preached that? I was in the balcony, in this section right up here, pulpit here, section right up here. And he stopped, he was preaching, and he stopped and said, Who do you see? And Lord, it scared the fire out of me. And all of a sudden, Pastor, I saw three faces. I'm a lot worse than Brother Hiles. I saw three faces. I knew Steve. God bless you. May you get the hiccups. But I saw three faces, and I went home. And, man, I mean, the invitation, you couldn't move. If you remember, we took about two steps, and it was jammed like this. And I just got on my knees in that balcony. We couldn't get to the altar. Couldn't even begin to get close. And I said, "Dear God, please, I want things to be right with you. God, help me." And I went home, packed my stuff, and I went to three different states to find these three men. Now, the first man, he opened the door, and he said, "Brother Gray." And I said, I know you're surprised, but I've come to make things right. We made things right. Went to the second man and knocked on the door, and he opened the door. Said, "Brother Gray." And I said, I know we've had harsh words, but I want to make things right. I went to the third man. Now, if anybody had done me dirty, if I was right about anything, it was in this one. I mean, he did me dirty. You understand this, don't you? He came to the door, opened the door, looked at me, and he said, "What in the world are you doing here?" And I said, "I've come to make things right." And here's what he said. "Well, it's about time." You know, don't you? Huh? It started in my feet, went up my ankles. And he said, cockily said, "Well, it's about time." And then I got a hold of myself. And I said, "You're right." And I started weeping. And we got on our knees and we prayed and made things right. Now, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the innocent must pay before it can be sent away. The third point, quickly here, I am to forgive before it happens. Is this thing on? I'm going to move away from the mic here. I don't know if this is, do you need this? Are you recording this or what? Hello? Are you back there? All right, good. I am to forgive before it happens. Listen carefully to this. The Bible speaks of Jesus as the Lamb slain, help me now, before the foundation of the world. You got that? So before the world was ever created, God said, "I'm going to create man so we can have fellowship." The reason God created you is so you can have fellowship with him and he can have fellowship with you. That's why God created you. And you're missing out if you're not fellowshipping with God. But that's why God created you. Then God, if God can't help his foreknowledge. God can't help because he knows, has foreknowledge. But there's a far difference than that in predestination. Romans 8, 28, 29 says predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That has nothing to do with elected to heaven, elected to hell. It's a stupid thing. I've never met anybody elected for hell. You know, hey, yeah, elected for hell. I've never seen that. I've seen the other, but I've never seen that. But it's a wonderful doctrine. You know, it's like the guy fell down the steps, broke his leg, and said, "Well, thank God that's over." but God's foreknowledge, God looked down and said, "Okay, if we create man, man's going to sin. He's going to defellowship himself, if there is such a word, from us." And Jesus said, "Well, if he does, I'll go down there and I'll pay for his sins and I'll reclaim him so we can have fellowship back." Holy Spirit said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll live in him so we can communicate with each other." So before you ever sin, don't miss this. Before you ever sin, God forgave you. Amen. It's whether you accept the gift or not that makes the difference. That's it. Is this working? Yeah. It's whether you accept the gift or not. Yeah. That's why some of you are, that's why it says, listen to this statement, Peter. Partakers of the divine nature. Think about that. Partakers. That means it's available, but it can be rejected. Okay, I go to preach somewhere, and I go in, and there's a buffet table. Buffet, your body daily. But I go in there. Now, because I buy the ticket for $5.95 does not mean I'm full. I have to go to the buffet and partake of it in order to be full. That's okay. So before the foundation of the world, Jesus, I was saved in 1957, Pastor. I got on my knees at 132 East Michigan Avenue in Galesburg, Michigan. 11-year-old kid, after my preacher preached on hell that night, scared the fire out of me. And I got on my knees, and my mama told me, I come home and said, "Mama, I'm going to hell." She started weeping. She said, "Son, you don't have to." Get that? You don't have to.
And she sent me into my room, and I got on my knees on a throw rug and a little wooden floor, and I got on my knees and asked Jesus. It wasn't a pretty prayer, but I asked Jesus to save me. Now, wait a minute now. 1950, 2,000 years before that, Jesus died to pay for my sins. Those sins were paid for before I asked. You got that? Okay. Then if I am to be one that can forgive from the heart, then I have to come to God and get that forgiveness first before I can deliver it to someone. Okay, you cannot forgive unless you've been forgiven. That's an important statement. Write that down. You cannot forgive unless you've been forgiven. You have no resource. You have no, there's some words in the Bible that are very, like the word let. Let this mind be in you. Let, that word let. It's like a faucet. You go to your, turn the faucet on, the water flows. But if you ever bought a house and gone in, the water has not been on, then you turn the water and you turn it on like that, and it spits out that black stuff and that brown stuff. Well, that's what a lot of your forgiveness is. You can't forgive because there's nothing there. That's why it's important you fellowship with God. And first you get saved. But then you come to God and every day and say, oh, God, forgive me for that. And God, help me. And God, I love you. Start out the morning that way. And Lord, I love you. Help me to be what I ought to be today. And thank you for saving me. And you walk with him. And you get what I call that little whirly bird ride in the morning. And you get in that little helicopter. And you get up to heaven. And get up here. Before you come back with the turkeys, you get up here. That was funny, folks. And get up here. And then I get up here. And I see the whole thing from God's perspective. Wisdom, seeing life from God's point of view. Earthly wisdom, seeing it from man's point of view. I don't want that because I'm going to have trouble with man. But when I get up here and see it from God's point of view, and I'm going to be walking on streets of gold where Carl Hatch is right now, and I'm going to be there, and there'll be no more death, and there'll be no more. And I walk there, and I come back down here, and you say something bad about me? Shoot, that's nothing. I crucified Jesus. That's nothing. I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's nothing. So that's how I can forget. I'll go back to Matthew 18. We got to hurry. We got to get out of here because I got to find out if I got my bailout check or not. Let's go to Matthew 18 and verse 23. Matthew 18 and verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, a talent of silver, let's say $2,000. A talent of gold, let's say $30,000. This is between $20 million to $300 million. That's as much as your wife's Visa card. Verse 25. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Forgave him $20 million to $300 million and forgave the debt? Wow. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, 17 cents for a pence. That's 17 bucks. This guy owed 17 bucks. And he laid hand, the same servant which went out and found a fellow servant which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. So the guy that was forgiven $20 million to $300 million went out searching for somebody that owed him money. This guy owed him 17 bucks. He grabs a guy by the throat. The first guy didn't even do that. Took him by the throat saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And he would not. What? And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very wroth and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said to him, O thou, what kind of servant? Wicked servant, you wicked, wicked servant. Now this is what he's a wicked servant. I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. When you got saved, did you want to get saved? Yeah, you trusted Christ. You desired to have your debt paid. And it was paid. Hell was paid for. Now watch it now. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was what? Wroth. Is your Lord mad at you this morning? Is your Lord wroth with you this morning because you have not forgiven from your heart somebody who's done something against you? Did I hear a pin drop? And delivered him to the tormentors. You say, preacher, I'm saved, but I toss and turn. And preacher, I'm saved, but I, this dear brother, this dear sister, I'm going to tell you something. That woman you can't stand, don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. She's going to be your next door neighbor for all eternity. God walks by and he says, I did that. I love it. And delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. In other words, you will not get this torment out of your life. You'll not get this God being upset with you out of your life until you learn. You're a parent. Doesn't it break your heart when one child's fighting with another child? Doesn't it break your heart? You love them both equally. And when one will not forgive another, you're more upset about them not forgiving than you are the debt that was done. Come on, somebody say amen. Well, how does our Heavenly Father feel about it? We don't have to go through. Why can't you just smile? Why can't you just say, thank God I'm forgiven. I'm not going to hell. Brother, you're forgiven. Glory to God. The reason you cannot do that is because you're the innocent one, but you have not paid. You have not done something to overwhelm what they've done. I'll give you an illustration. And then I'll be, I think my time is up, but it is okay. All right. Is it right now? 2 minutes. Okay, I'm going to give this illustration that I'm done. I had an evangelist in our church. He was not a staff member, but he was an evangelist. He went wacky. Wacky. Him and his wife went wacky. And wacky. And all of a sudden they attacked me and pulled out in the middle of the night and left. But before they left, I'm out preaching somewhere. They printed up letters and went and stood in all the grocery stores in town and saw church members and passed out letters. Giving little innuendos, didn't say anything, but just little innuendos about me. And so I'm out of town. I get this phone call from my secretary. My secretary, very calm, very sedate. And she said, you better get home now. Well, whoa, you know something wrong, boy. And so I read this letter, and I tried to contact the guy. He wouldn't talk to me. I couldn't find out. Da, 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 da. And so he took off, and he just tried to slander me. Well, then, now months later, now I get a phone call from Indiana from a businessman. It says, this man, evangelist, he said he owes me $10,000. And he said, I understand he was on your staff. How can I contact him or what can I do to get my money? And I said, wait a minute. I said, he's not on my staff. He was a member here on our staff. He said, no. He told me he was on your staff. He was on your staff. I said, sir, he was not on my staff. He said, no, he was on your staff. I said, sir, I'm telling you, he's not on my staff. You can call my deacons. You can call the chairman of the board. You can call him. He was not on our staff. He said, no, he was on your staff. He said, in fact, the more I think about it, I'm going to hold you personally accountable for that $10,000. Now, wait a minute now. I didn't owe it. But I, 2 years, I paid. I sent money orders for 2 years, that businessman, to pay that $10,000 off. Now, wait a minute now. This guy had an innuendo about me. He tried to ruin me. But I could not live with that. I had to overcome the evil with good. Haven't you heard Brother Howes talk about this over and over again? I was with Brother Howes one time, and he said some guy wrote him and chewed him out and said he hated him. He sent him a Schofield Bible. The next week, I sat down and wrote him a letter. Dear Dr. Howes, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. And I signed it Bob Gray. We preached together for 22 years at least once a month. So the next week, he said nothing. The week after, he said nothing. And I said to him, Brother Howes, did you get my letter? And he said, yes, but you're not getting a Bible.